Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Hump day.
Hump day. What? Warning.
What?
Warning. I'm having one of those.
A stroke? I think the word you're looking for is a stroke.
No, I'm having one of those mornings where I woke up, but I'm like, am I awake? I slept so soundly,
good.
So deeply. I was in the midst of a dream, I think, when I woke up. And then I'm like, I'm still groggy.
I've been there.
Like, whoa, that was just a hard, hard sleep.
You were yawning a lot yesterday morning. So much so I probably should have asked you why, but I didn't. So now I'm bringing it up a day later. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This is the after effects, I believe, of a little girl's sleepover.
Probably.
This is probably
it's like jet lag.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
No.
Slumber party jet lag.
It's gotta be. You pay for it days later.
Yeah, that's usually it, because you probably were living on coffee and adrenaline Sunday morning.
Totally.
And then just like, got stuff to do.
I was like, oh, wow, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I am not fine.
I now get 2 nights of sleep a night. Well,
also,
as we are, as my dog is the equivalent of Jimmy Carter. Kingston is in basically dog hospice, right? His kidneys are failing.
Yeah.
But he's doing great, right? Like, I don't know when the end's coming. Usually it's like, we're going to hospice, like, pretty soon.
Yeah.
We're fine.
But he's been there for quite some time.
He's still, yeah. And hospice includes now sleeping with us. And it also includes his nighttime routine is waking up at about 1 and having to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I get one night of sleep from an 8 to a 1. And then I have to get up, go upstairs, walk him outside so he could do his business, get him back inside, make sure he drinks his water, then take him back down, and then we all go back to bed.
Do you guys ever take turns?
No.
Oh.
This is all on me.
Because I don't know if I'd be able to go back to sleep. 1 o'clock?
No, and then I go back to sleep and I sleep hard.
That's a nap.
And then it's a nap.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I have added a nap to my nighttime routine.
You and me, buddy, we are messed up.
The hours we work anyway are messed up, and now they're more messed up.
Well, I had my suspicions before, and now we have confirmed it. We are totally messed up.
Messed up. Up.
110%.
And of course, if one dog sleeps in the bed, both dogs sleep in
the bed. That's not fair if you just have one dog sleeping in the bed.
So that was a badge I wore with pride among all dog owners. Everybody's like, where's your dog sleep? I'm like, upstairs. Dog doesn't sleep with us.
Really?
That has now changed.
We always did. And then I realized that I was losing part of my sleeping space.
Yes.
I'm like, this is not...
Temperature goes way up and your square footage available to your body goes way down.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
I don't know how the dog knows how geothermal works or geometry, but they do both quite well.
And if Rex was in there with us, it would be Rex's bed.
Yeah, that's how they just take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
well, I'm glad that you are well rested yet groggy, and I am in my new sleeping pattern and feel great.
Woohoo!
It's a typical, what is it, Wednesday?
We're totally with it. Morning Scramble.
Between the two of us, we got enough sleep.
Let's go with something nicer. Huh?
Yeah.
Remember, it's not just the Super Bowl we have coming up. There's also the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
Yay.
Do you have information on our teams?
I do have information on our teams and on the 6 dogs from Iowa.
How? So that's a lot of players just from one state.
They have 50. Dogs
total
in the Puppy Bowl.
So you would think it would be 1 per state, but we get 6.
Yeah,
nice.
They said 80 shelters, 40 states.
Okay.
But for they have a good connection.
Yeah.
There's a rescue in DeSoto, Iowa called A Heinz 57 Pet Rescue, and they have had dogs.
So very consistent.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh, totally.
They've had a connection for whatever reason. Whenever the Puppy Bowl started, they've had a dog or two at the Puppy Bowl.
Do you think now they do like drills with the dogs there to try to get them ready, game day ready?
Okay. You might be a sweet little pup, but let's make sure you've got what it takes.
You gotta run around. You gotta fetch that thing. Go fetch it. Go fetch it.
Do you have the tenacity it takes?
Do you want to be on the puppy bowl or not? No treats for you. Get back out there.
Get out there. We got Cece.
Yeah.
Aaron, Orla, Gretel, Pizzazz, and Zipper.
Love them all.
All hailing from Iowa. The Puppy Bowl coming up February 9th, of course, at 2 p.m. Eastern. So it'd be
1 p.m.
our time. 1 p.m. our time. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On Animal Planet, Discovery, TBS, Max, Discovery Plus, all of them.
Are you naming more dogs or TV stations?
It's more TV stations than dogs at this point. Also, True TV.
I can't keep track of this.
Just, you know what? Turn on the TV. It'll probably
stop.
Be on.
When you see a dog.
If you see a dog,
if
that's
you see
the puppy
a dog,
bowl.
That's the channel you're going to.
That's what you're looking for.
Good job.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I don't know why, but I feel like I got to pep up the entire middle school girls basketball team.
Yeah.
My daughter's got a game tonight.
Uh-huh.
And actually, they have games every day this week. They only have 4 days of school this week, but like every day except for yesterday, they have game.
That's great.
It's great.
That's a lot. But if you're going to learn a sport, right, this is the first time she's played it.
Yes.
I'm guessing for most of that team, it's first for them, right? So get them on the court a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get them exposed to it. Get them busy. Keep them busy. And we're, you know, at the end of the month, it's time to wrap up. So.
Oh, really? It's kind of a short season?
It is a very short season. So, like, let's go, let's go, let's mm-hmm. go. They are undefeated.
That's fantastic.
Currently. Yeah. It's really good. Until tonight, they take on the Catholic school.
What does that mean?
Well, apparently it means they're really good. And my daughter says her team is thinking we're cooked. They're going into this game and they're like, I heard that their team is really good.
I hear they got somebody who's 6 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good.
They have a foreign exchange student.
They've been playing for years. They've got a really, really good team and we are going to lose. I'm like, you can't go into it with that mindset.
No, you cannot.
Totally wrong mindset. Don't forget, ladies, you're undefeated this season. You're a great team.
Are you the coach?
No. I've been told several times I am not. please be quiet and stop cheering so loud. No, I'm not. But don't forget who you are, okay? You got this. You're going to be great.
Claire, this sounds to me like you're practicing a speech for when you're going to break in the locker room and try to pep them up because the coach isn't doing it right.
Do you think it would be wrong if I did offer just a little bit of advice?
I was talking with the other moms.
Yeah.
We have some notes. Can I just, here, give me that chalk.
Some had some thoughts, and our thoughts were this. You got this, ladies. Come on, ladies. Inappropriate?
No.
Okay. All right.
Now go out there and show them what they're made of. You're made of. That little kid on the football field.
Yes.
Right? The Mavericks.
We're going to show them that we are Mavericks, that we have determination. Come on.
That's what you need.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic.
Thanks. We're running
out. That would have fired up my football team.
Yeah.
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 A good halftime speech goes a long way.
It does.
So, and that game's today? Well, good luck, everybody.
Yes, it is. Go Tigers.
All right.
Ow.
This is, I have no segue to what I want to talk about.
It's
nothing.
Not related.
I'm going to ask you a completely 100% different question.
Okay.
When you get a shot at the doctor
mm-hmm.
or now Hy-Vee.
Have I cried?
How much is a person supposed to bleed? No, that's not my question.
We got a bleeder.
Whoa. Where does that data go? Because,
data.
Yeah, so if I get a shot at the doctor's office, I feel like the notes go in the system.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then my chart shows that you got a shot. But, like, I've had a COVID booster, right? And I got it at Hy-Vee because I wanted some fuel saver. So do they have access to the same database? And I'm bringing up all of this talk about shots because
everybody!
I'm of an age where I now get shingle shots.
Oh.
The shingle. And it's a twofer.
It is.
You get a one. And then you go back no more than 6 months later and you get the second. And I just got the second on Friday.
Oh, fun.
Yes. And the first one was not in my database. So while I'm there, I'm like, can you tell me, remind me when we got the first one? Because I got to report that back to my doctor's office because they don't have that information, which is worries me.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I had to get the second one. Now, I got the first one in August. August was short sleeve weather. Roll it up. Left arm out.
Oh, shots in the winter are much more difficult.
Winter shot. Mm. So, let's see. Saturday or Friday, I wore a blue sweater and a button-down shirt underneath it. So my plan was to take the sweater off, and then, like, if I unbutton maybe two or three buttons, I can just kind of lower. I can show a little shoulder. That was my plan.
Your plan was to unbutton just a couple
just
buttons.
Just a couple.
And just take one shoulder out.
That was the goal.
How demure.
Now listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Look away. I'm changing. Oh, that. Look at that shoulder. If this was long times ago, that's all you could that was risque.
So mindful.
That was risque.
So demure.
I'm three buttons down, and this shirt is not moving at all. So I look.
But it's a men's button-down shirt. Not a negligee.
I was trying to be respectful. I don't know this tech from the pharmacy, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, guess what? You're just going to have to see the whole show.
Hey.
She's like, that's fine.
Welcome.
So I'm fully unbuttoned and I take my shirt off. And you know, now she's making small talk. She's like, what? Because it's like 3 p.m. Not many people are getting a shingle shot
and
at 3.
And then they ask you, what do you have going on for the rest of your day?
Yeah. I'm like, she's like, how's your day going? I was like, well, this is the last thing I work. I always start with, I work in the morning. I do radio. Oh, go. And then I tell her who I am. And she looks down at, she's like, are you dancing, Eric Hansen? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dancing Eric Hansen.
With his shirt off.
You now have seen my full chest of hair. And you've now met a radio DJ, so if you had both of those on your bingo cards, congratulations. And now you're going to give me a shot in my left arm. On my furry DJ body.
Hey.
Everybody!
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
I didn't think this day would come. The Cedar Rapids Gazette is now going to be a 3-day-a-week paper, not 7.
Wow.
As of February 17th, you will only get a printed version of the Gazette on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Now, daily coverage still happening. They've got a website, clearly. They've got social media. They're going to have a digital version every day. That's still happening. The Telegraph Herald in Dubuque also made a similar announcement on Monday. By mid-February, they also will go to just Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Maintaining newspapers is tough. Costs a lot to do. Printing, distribution. And it all relies on advertising dollars.
But the digital is all...
Digital is going to lock. And that's, I think, where they've been trying to get a lot of people to shift into the digital version anyway. Because most of that I'm using in the morning, right? I'm looking at online.
Right.
We stopped getting a newspaper at this building almost a decade ago, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
At least.
There is still something about having a cup of coffee and just it's just the same reason I like books versus digital books.
Yeah, that experience.
I like the experience of interacting with the medium. And I'm happy Saturday and Sunday are still there. And, you know, come football season, people are really going to look forward to that stuff. But going into this first quarter, that's the new plan for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And that'll start sometime in mid-February. Every year, the state treasurer of Iowa conducts the Great Iowa Treasure Hunt, asking Iowans to search a database for uncollected insurance claims, forgotten bank accounts, unclaimed property. You put a deposit down when you had your utilities connected to your house, you moved, and you did not claim that deposit, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Great news. A lot of people went looking for treasure last year. 2024 was a record-breaking year. Let me give you the previous record. $6.5 million in 1 year of reclaimed property. That was 2022. Last year, $30.9 million in reclaimed property, thanks to using this database through the Treasurer of Iowa.
There's just more unclaimed stuff out there, or more people are claiming?
More people are claiming.
More claimed.
It
okay.
appears that we hold almost $600 million of stuff at any one time. Because again, somebody dies, somebody didn't know that they got grandma's bank account, so it's an unclaimed asset,
it's
and it goes to the state. And the state has to do its job to try to find that person. this is our method. But at some point, then the state absorbs it.
Hmm.
So they're doing everything they can to get people to claim this property. And then once it, if it's claimed, great, goes to the rightful owner. If it doesn't, state gets it. But it was a great year with 30.9 million dollars worth of unclaimed cash and property was returned to either like the heir or the rightful owner.
Well, you keep talking about it, Mr. Radio, and keep reminding
well,
us.
Well, just keep just anytime great Iowa treasure hunt and just start poking around. Like you might need to know your grandparents' maiden names, for example. You don't know what there might be an insurance policy that was taken out on you that you're not unaware of, right? So just poke around. Might be some treasure in it for you. What's got us feeling all right? It's actually a sports short. Your Iowa State Cyclone football squad, fresh off a Pop-Tart Bowl victory,
woo,
will bring the trophy, and I think I counted 13 football players, to Riverside, to the casino, coming up Friday. This is a free meet and greet. Photos, handshakes, no autographs because there's not enough time.
Okay.
Si's going to be there. It's 6 till 8 o'clock, family friendly. It's going to be in the event center side of the casino.
That makes sense.
In Riverside. Both University of Iowa, Iowa State, I have to presume you and I as well, have these NIL opportunities where the athletes are asked to do certain things and that then contributes to their income.
Yeah.
So this is part of what Iowa State has partnered with the casino to do.
This is cool.
Yeah. You can meet a lot of the squad who all those players were there at that game in Orlando. So you've got your football players, you've got your trophy. Grab the phone, grab the kids, and enjoy. This is all coming up at Riverside, a Cyclone meet and greet coming up on Friday, and that's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
A 53-year-old woman in France got scammed out of $850,000 by Brad Pitt, except, it wasn't Brad Pitt.
How did this happen?
AI. A scammer used images, pretended to be, at first, Brad Pitt's mom, and said that this French woman was exactly the kind of gal that she needed for her son, Brad, and then introduced the French woman to Brad Pitt, started using AI photos to make Brad seem like he was really doing things that they said that he was doing for like a year and a half. Would send poems, even a marriage proposal at one point. Then the scammer started asking for money, saying that they would send this French woman luxury handbags if she paid for bills. Don't do this!
Well, there's two sides to that, right? One is you're just ripe for the picking for some reason.
Yes.
You're lonely. You're just easily, you're gullible, you're susceptible. At any point, was there vocal communication or this was all written?
Well, there was a doctor. At one point, they claimed that Brad was having kidney cancer and needed money for treatment. So they had a doctor call the woman.
Oh, my God.
Talking to her through what Brad needed and the money that was going to be needed for these kidney cancer treatments. So she sent money, transferred money to a Turkish bank account. And realized last summer on her own that this had to be fake because she saw photos of Brad Pitt with his girlfriend, Inez de Ramon, like in real life. And like, oh, I'm not dating Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is dating someone else.
Remind me, how many circles of hell are there? Like seven?
Yes.
Whoever's did this to this woman, go to the eighth circle of hell.
So.
Right?
So terrible.
That is horrible.
She had depression after this,
I bet.
To be hospitalized. She's like, I had to ask, why would someone harm me like this? I've never harmed anyone. It's unclear if the scammer was ever caught. So they're just out there.
How old? 50 something?
53-year-old French woman.
I joke a lot about the in-laws getting, I'm afraid they're going to get duped. They just like to click on stuff, right? They just love to click.
Right.
And one of those times, like somebody's going to call you or pretend that your grandkids are in jail, even though they're four, and you're going to fall for it.
They find the perfect way
in.
They
do.
Yeah. Ah, dang it. They got her. Okay, this is not a legal thing, but a strongly worded letter has been sent to Disney CEO Bob Iger and Marvel boss Kevin Feige from the It Ends With Us director, co-star Justin Baldoni's team, demanding that Disney preserve evidence related to last year's massive hit Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, there is a lawsuit that Blake Lively has against Justin Baldoni about sexual harassment and alleged online smear campaign. And now Justin Baldoni is fighting back. He is saying that Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are actually being mean to him. He's saying that the character of Nicepool in the Deadpool and Wolverine movies is making fun of him.
How?
Well, there's reference to when Lady Pool, who Blake Lively plays,
yes,
says that she just had a baby. And Nicepool says, you can't even tell. And it's okay. He can say that. I identify as a feminist. That is a joke or somehow references Justin Baldoni.
Oh my God.
So they're asking for all of the character development, any text message, any paperwork, anything that they had in the development for the character of Nicepool be preserved and
any judge worth their robe is going to throw this out. That if you follow any of Ryan Reynolds' movies and how those are made, so much of that is improvised.
I know.
There's no way you're going to find what you think you're looking for.
I wish you so much luck. I know. I'm like, that's...
I wish you fail. I want this thing to go away.
It's so silly at
this
point.
It's so silly.
It's so silly, you guys. It's just... Let it be done. Let it be over. It's getting too...
At this point, you're just looking for stuff. Well, that validates my point that really isn't a good point,
it's
right?
It's not a great point. Do you want to be like that guy? That's not a great character.
You've turned into that guy at this point.
Yeah, yoy.
Wow.
Okay, we hear about this time of year during awards season that, like, it's just an honor to be nominated, and it's not. You want to win.
You want to win.
You totally want to win. And thanks to Kathy Bates for just being honest about it. She shared a story from back in 2003. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress along with Meryl Streep and Catherine Zeta-Jones, who actually ended up winning. Catherine Zeta-Jones won Best Actress
Traffic
for Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
Yes. And that was a tough loss. Kathy Bates said she and Meryl Streep went to commercial break, and Meryl grabbed Kathy Bates and dragged her to the bar. Kathy said it was a very Joan Crawford, Betty Davis moment. Meryl Streep slams her evening bag down on the bar and says, I'm having vodka, straight, neat. And so Kathy Bates kind of looked at her and she slammed her evening bag down and said, I'm having what she's having. And we tossed the shots back.
Yes!
It was a moment. And we turned and we toasted each other, and I could see in her eyes, and I'm sure she could see in mine, how badly we wanted to win. And I thought we were so close. That's honesty.
I love that story.
I do too. Way to be honest.
Those young pups coming up, taking our Oscars, taking our Golden Globes.
And we wanted to win so bad.
She won for a musical.
A musical?
It was a musical.
It's not even real art.
Wait a minute. That's one step too far.
I'm sorry.
Take that back.
I don't agree with it.
Take that back.
I don't agree with what I said. I was playing Kathy Bates. It was a role. I was playing a role.
Okay. It was good because I was mad at you. Phew.
That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Had a question about swearing, which we actually discussed in Momtroversy a couple of months ago. We had a question from our friends in Australia.
That question was, our daughter keeps swearing at daycare, and while they think it's adorable, it's now coming home.
How do we make it
and
stop?
We gotta stop it.
Yeah. That was a great way to tackle that. But then another angle is, do you swear at home?
Like, what's the source material, right?
Yeah.
Is that, where is this coming from? And that was one of the questions that we asked back with that Momtroversy. But today, as we get back into that topic of swearing at home, this is coming actually from a podcast.
Yeah, Kylie Kelsey is the wife of Jason Kelsey, and she has her own podcast. She was talking about being a mom who openly swears at home. She's got little kids, 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, 21-month-old, and another baby on the way too. And she's like, I am totally cool with it. Of course, they're a Philly house, so I guess
that's just the town. What are you gonna do?
Hey,
we beat up Santa Claus.
What are you gonna do? She's like, I don't I want them to know about the language. I don't want them to feel like they can't use certain words. There are some words, though, that she's not as fond of. There's words like stupid, calling people names, like loser, telling somebody to shut up. She's not a big fan of saying things like that. But the bad language, those bad words kind of fly at their house, and she doesn't try to shield them from her kids.
I would say predominantly that was the tone with all of our phone calls yesterday.
I am a swearing mom, but my kids know when to not, that they cannot swear.
Is this something that you laid out deliberately with them, or is it like they just kind of sense it?
A little bit of both. It was definitely something I never stopped swearing when I had kids, but we have had multiple conversations that these are words that mommy, daddy use in our house. Different houses have different rules. School is absolutely off the table. They have also seen me speak professionally and know that there's a time and place, and professionally is not one of them. So they can see the difference of when it's appropriate, when it's not.
That's awesome.
Yeah, giving them context.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about if they let something slip in public? How do you handle that?
They have done that when they were really little, and it's hard not to laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then you also have the conversation of sometimes things slip out. You realize it was an accident and you move on. If you make a big deal of it, especially with a little kid, they're going to realize they get a response out of it.
Yeah.
And keep doing it. You got to nip it in the bud immediately if that's where you don't want them to use it.
I tell you what, it sounds like as long as she feels they're doing right by all of it, mm-hmm. right? There are clear rules in the house.
Well, what? Age does play a factor, too.
Oh, for sure.
I when a kid is that little, they can become a sponge or a parrot, like you were yes. saying, and they just kind of repeat the things that you were just saying right back at you. So you do have to be careful a little bit.
But at some point, you can then develop boundaries of, okay, you've learned this vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Adults say it, kids can't. Then they can reason that. They understand that. But what we heard a lot is, and the justification, right? The kid knows where and when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate.
The right times to use it.
They would never use it at school, but they could use it in our house. And you may believe that's what you're teaching them. And then we took this phone call this morning.
Oh, I don't think it's a good idea at all. My dad always said that swearing was a sign of ignorance. And so he was like, you can use other words besides the swear words to convey what you're thinking. And I'm an educator, and I just hear it all the time, and I don't like to hear that. You know, it's disrespectful, and I just don't like it.
You do hear swearing at school?
Yes. They hear it all the time at home. You know, I know the parents say, no, don't do this outside of home, but, you know, they hear it, so they're going to do it.
What age groups are you hearing at school? What are you in elementary?
Second grade.
Oh, my.
Yeah, second grade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just definitely, I mean, parents think that's okay, but it's, you know, if they hear it, they're going to use it. You know, my yeah. mom and dad use it. It's fine.
Second grade, Claire. Second grade.
Lots of swears happening in second grade. Oh, dear.
Now, you're a swear household, fair? Ish.
I don't encourage my kids to.
No, never.
There's a...
Oh, let's be clear. Nobody's encouraging the kid to swear.
No, but I do. Yes.
But you don't filter yourself.
No.
You do not censor yourself.
No.
Are things being said at school, does that get back to you in like a parent-teacher note or anything?
No, I never have. I've never experienced that. However, just last night, and I don't know if it's because we're having this conversation and this conversation has been overheard, there was something that happened at the dinner table. Like the dog came over and my daughter called him a bad name. I'm like, hey, that was not okay. That's not the time or the place. You know?
Yeah.
It's about time and place. Dearest.
That's what we're all learning. How do you tackle that at your house?
Is it here yet? Is it on yet? Is it here yet?
Since kids don't come with instructions, we're here to help. It's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
This is not parent submitted per se, but I bet a bunch of parents have this question going into the new year.
And I think it's a topic that is kind of a new way of thinking about adult language. Jason Kelsey's wife, Kylie Kelsey, said that she is a swearer. She swears in front of her kids, and she's not ashamed that she does it either. She thinks that she doesn't want to censor herself, and she wants her kids to know those words and how to use those words. So she's okay with swearing in front of kids. Not exactly how a lot of people were raised, though. That's kind of a different way
of
doing
it. It completely has evolved. Mm-hmm. I think we've loosened up a little bit as a society. Were the vocabulary used on just regular television has become
completely
bluer.
It's like, you just said that word on TV. Right.
We had a call yesterday from somebody that it's like, you know what? Before COVID, it was kind of this way in our house. And the rules just kind of went out the window because you're just spending so much time just being real with everybody after that.
Life changed.
Exactly. So our question, and we are getting answers on both sides of the spectrum. Do you swear in front of your kids?
Good morning. I'm just calling about controversy.
Go for it.
Okay. I think it's fine to swear in front of your kids. I would probably make a sailor blush. I swear just to swear. but my kids, I have two full grown ones and a 13-year-old. They knew as little children not to swear. Now, as long as they're singing a song, well, my two are old, but my 13-year-old, if she's singing a song or if she uses it in the right context, in the right place, I am okay with it. I'm very open. I'm very, we always use the real words for body parts and all that stuff. So we just have an open, honest, and, you know, I think it's fine.
Just take the taboo out of some words,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like with children, if you're like, no, that's when they want to do it. If you're
for
open
sure.
And like, hey, whatever, then they don't think it's anything weird or crazy or out there, you know, they're not trying to do stuff. I'm just like, sure, go ahead.
Now, do you have any friends where if your kids went to their house, swearing was not allowed?
They do not. I think you kind of touched on, I think this day and age, it's all over movies, TV, songs, everything that like, my kids aren't friends with anybody that's more like restrictive.
Okay.
It's kind of common for all of her friend groups to be like, you know, but she goes to church. We go to church. She knows we're not swearing at church.
Sure, yeah.
You know, school,
not there.
The Lord's
like
house. What are you saying? So there just seems to be this general approach. And this was the vibe I really got yesterday. It's like words are words. Vocabulary is vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Kids are still kids and adults are adults. But I think we're treating younger people more as little mini adults.
Yeah.
More now than we used to.
Teaching them more time and place instead of like access to this words and not
just
this word.
Not hiding it, right? Mm-hmm. There's just no secrets.
Yeah.
That's the language. So that was one side of the spectrum. Then there's this side.
Absolutely not. It is not okay ever. I am so sad that no swear parents are calling in.
And why do you not allow it at your house?
It's filth. Kids do not need to be saying those words. They ride the bus. They go to school. They're going to learn them. They're just dirty words. We don't need them in our lives.
They don't have a lot of value. Let me back up.
No.
They're colorful and descriptive. And
sometimes
in a moment.
Expand your vocabulary.
Pardon me?
Expand your vocabulary.
There are also other colorful words out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we wanted to hear that side of the coin, and yes. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
It is not needed. If you wouldn't say it at church, you don't need to say it.
There you go. All right. So that was, and that's a very firm opinion in that household.
Yes. No swearing at all.
And I look around our building. I've worked here when it felt like we had a sailor run in the place, and there was swearing all the time. We have Loretta, the director of First Impressions, is the best user of cheese and rice that I've ever heard.
No swearing.
No swearing at all.
Yeah.
They're just different ways to approach it. This is an interesting approach in this family's household where, we'll let him explain.
How we dealt with swearing is we could tell when our kids were getting, you know, ready to, like, we knew they knew the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could tell when they were getting close. So we would have an amnesty moment at night at dinner. And so we'd give them 30 seconds to get all the words out. And then that was it. But they would have to ask permission any other time. But it taught us what words they knew. And it also let them relieve the stress of, no, you know, not keeping that secret.
Right. Well, I like that angle of it's helpful to also know in that moment, you now know their vocabulary.
Where are we at?
Yeah,
here?
Where are we at in the evolution
exactly.
of swearing?
How old was it different kid to kid? How old about were we having this amnesty moment?
We started it when our kids were, I mean, Zeta was really, really little, but Zoe was probably 6, and then Zach was, he was 11.
Well, yeah,
so,
the oldest kid, they don't learn stuff until they're older, but the youngest kid gets exposed. That's weird how that
it's
works.
It's trickle-down swearing, yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of weird how it works, isn't it?
But that is an excellent answer, because now we know how that household did it.
Interesting.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
And no matter how cold it is outside, it's nice and cozy inside the confines of Lindmar High School, where we are working the concession stand next Tuesday.
Yeah, we're all signed up. We are doing both JV and varsity, I'm finding out. Very exciting.
We signed up for this like a long time ago, so we're just remembering.
What I agreed to.
Remembering the form. The parent, the coordinator, who's in charge of all of this, her name is Kara. Good morning, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
Good morning.
Thanks for chiming. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do want to point out, I'm not in charge of all of this. That goes to the booster committee.
Ah.
There's some amazing parents on there that really run it. I am the volunteer coordinator for the varsity boys basketball team.
Oh, that's right.
My son is on that team. And so the last 2 years now, I am responsible for filling 16 slots, four different events of parents from the varsity and sophomore boys teams to go in and volunteer. But there are definitely people that are like doing a lot more behind the scenes with from the Booster Club to get this all running smoothly.
And you've got all of those sports programs from boys basketball, girls basketball, wrestling going on as well.
That's a lot of volunteers.
And that means a lot of fans who want to have a lot of snacks.
Absolutely. And our Booster Club actually supports both the fine arts and the sports. So the fine arts clubs also have to provide volunteers. There's a lot of people involved, which is amazing.
So who are we going to be rubbing elbows with on Tuesday when we're in this concession stand? And then where is that money going?
I'm not sure what parent group is running it that night, but the money goes to the Booster Club. And then that money is distributed to sports and fine arts clubs to have us do the amazing things that happen at Linmar.
Awesome.
Between, you know, uniforms up to lots of different things the boosters support.
This is an important job then. This money is going to important things. What kind of things are we selling typically in a concession stand at Linmar?
Like the menu, is that the
question? Yeah, what's the menu?
All right, what's on the menu?
Well, there's popcorn, nachos, pretzels, pizza, hot dogs, walking tacos, lots of candy, bottled pop, water, Gatorade, lots of great things for people to snack and drink on while they're enjoying whatever they're there for.
What have you found? Like, is there always like the Linmar favorite? What should we over prepare so we don't run out too soon?
Oh, I think, I don't know what they have in the inside concession. I've only worked the football games when I've worked, but the kids seem to really like the caramel apple pops. It seems like we go through those fast.
Still
and
a
the
hot
candy.
Item, huh?
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Is there going to be something as we're through our volunteer, maybe within the first hour or two, that's going to just knock our socks off? Something that's going to surprise us that maybe we can prepare for right now?
I don't think anything that's going to surprise you. What I'm always impressed by, though, is just how kind and helpful everybody is. The workers that are going to be working with you, the fans, like I just always walk away after I volunteer, even though at the football games it's very chaotic, just with a sense of feeling good about our community. And I think you're going to have a lot of fun, actually.
Claire's
good.
Afraid to count money.
I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess up anybody's
change. That's usually
change.
My job, Claire. That's usually been my job. And when I the first year I did it, they had items that even were worth like 75 cents.
Oh, no.
So then you even had to think more. Now they've gotten rid of that. It's just 50s and ones. So
okay, good.
Oh, this is much better.
It's a lot easier.
That's good.
But what they do is everybody, when you get there, you kind of or assigned a role or pick a role and you stick to it. So somebody's just going to be making the walking tacos. Somebody will just be taking the orders and then hollering for other people to run and grab those orders.
I would love to holler.
I want
to
holler too.
No, you say
you're
going to
take money, Claire.
I don't want to be money. I don't want to touch the money.
If you want to holler, you got to take the money.
No.
Hollers is the moneyers.
Okay, never mind. You can
I'll holler in money.
Holler. You holler.
You bet. I'll holler in money. Do we need to wear red? Is that a requirement?
That would be awesome, but you don't have to. You can wear whatever you want.
I'm going to.
Well, they're playing City High, which is also a red
there,
school.
So layers.
Oh, good idea. So even if it's -3 outside, a short sleeve shirt's probably a good idea.
Probably.
Gets a little toasty in there.
That's a pro tip.
This is good stuff.
Short sleeves.
This is really, really good stuff.
Short sleeves.
Okay. I feel prepared. Now, I did bring a bag of... Here's what's sad about my house, Kara. My house is stacked like a concession stand. Claire's like, bring some items and we'll play store. I have bags.
I didn't say play store. I never said we'll play store. I said we should run a simulation of a concession stand is how I phrased it, I believe.
So we'll bring in producer Ben, and then like one of us can pretend to be the customer. And we'll, I'm sorry, not play store.
We're not going to play store.
We'll run a concession stand simulation.
A simulation of a concession stand.
All right. Well, we want to just make, because we don't want to do bad by you or any of the parents or the volunteers or the great people at Linmar. So we're going to make sure we're going to basically do some calisthenics, some warm-ups for the next couple days to be ready Tuesday. I know you said it takes a ton of people, but you are our first point of contact, so we do want to take a second and thank you for getting us connected to this opportunity.
Yeah, this is so great. Thanks, Kara.
Of course. Yes, and just so if anybody in the community really just wants to be involved in some way, contact your local school and ask if you can help in a volunteer or in a concession stand. We need so many volunteers, and it's just a great way to be active, meet people, and have a lot of fun. So
it's a great idea.
That is a good
great
point.
Words
yeah.
to end on.
Yeah.
All right, go Lions. Kara, thanks for joining us this morning on the Morning Scramble.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
Simulation mode activated.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a simulation of what it'll look like inside the Linmar concession stand coming up next Tuesday. Oh my gosh, less than a week.
It's next Tuesday, yeah.
Less than a week. You have procured a couple of items from your home, which weirdly is stacked kind of like a concession stand.
Okay, I've got bags of popcorn.
Oh my gosh.
I've got bottles of pop.
Wow.
And I've got candy bars, full-size candy bars.
Full-size candy bars.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think Ben, because he still looks like a high school student, Ben should be our customer.
Ben.
And then you and I will play different roles and see where we're best suited to work. You like that idea?
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm just getting the selection. I got to set up the store.
Set up the...
We're playing
it's
store!
It's a simulation. Hi, sir. Welcome to the concession stand. Are you hungry? Do you need some fuel to cheer on the Lions?
Wait a minute.
What?
Do you think you have enough time to say that to every single person
Not
in line?
Not every single person, but okay. Nice guys like Ben who are coming up to our concession
stand. Just the nice
ones? Yeah. Who All I right. really want to make a big order.
So right now, I am running stock. I'm in the back. You're the greeter, shouter, outer, and the change person.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
Here we go. So you have greeted the customer.
Hi, sir.
All right.
Welcome to the concession stand. Are you hungry for a snack?
What do you have to drink?
We have many things to offer. We have things like bottled water. Or that's Fresca. we also have bottles of zero sugar Coca-Cola.
Okay. I don't like Coke, so I guess I'll take a Fresca.
Perfect.
One Fresca! One Fresca!
A hot dog with no toppings on it.
One hot dog! Nikki hot dog!
Nikki dog coming up!
And then surprise me with a candy. The best one.
A surprise?
Yes.
Sir, can I ask if you're more of a chocolate or more of a maybe a fruit guy?
Hurry up! The game's starting!
All right, I'll take Skittles.
One Skittles! One Skittles! One Nikki dog! One Fresca!
One Fresca! Naked dog and taste the rainbow coming up. Hi, sir. Here are your beverages.
I don't know. Is that like $3? I don't know.
Well, we don't have prices on anything. You know what? I don't want to do another roll. I think that was perfect.
I think we nailed it.
That was great. Naked dog?
Naked dog?
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's run quickly. Let's do, he's going to add a couple more toppings to the dog just okay. so I know.
Just so we know.
Your vernacular. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Whatever topping you want to put
what
on your hot dog.
What are you going to put on your hot dog?
I want ketchup, mustard, cheddar cheese.
Whoa.
And that'll be it.
Okay.
One one dog, catch, must, cheese it up.
All right. One dog, red, yellow, and topped with golden goodness coming up.
Golden goodness?
That's cheddar cheese.
Golden goodness. Okay, we're going to have to come up with a system for how we're going to talk
about
toppings.
We're going to teach all the other people our system.
Okay, we're going to come up with a system. And
golden goodness,
to...
though, can apply to nachos, Claire. Golden goodness can apply. If you want a pretzel
it.
With a cheese cup, it's like, I want a twisty and a golden goodness.
One cup of golden goodness.
And a twist with salt. We're ready. I'm ready to run a concession stand.
We're closer. We're at least closer than we were moments before.
Thank you.
you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.